You are listening to The Overwhelmed Brain. Today's episode is brought to you by the Safe Empowerment System. If you've got anxiety and you've tried everything, go to quietbegins.com and start dissolving your anxiety today. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. I'm trying something a little differently today. You may not be able to tell, but I don't have my headphones on. And I'm doing this for the sake of comfort. Not that you care, not that it matters to you, but it's odd to me. It's odd that I don't hear my voice. I only hear it in the room, but I don't hear it in my ears. So it's just a strange sensation because I've worn my headphones while doing the show for about almost 6 years now. And it's a little challenging. So we're going to see what happens. Again, it's not really affecting you probably, but it'll be interesting to hear myself to see if I sound different. Because when you're wearing headphones, you catch the nuances of your voice and you may stop and re-record something. But we're trying something different. So enough about me. Let's talk more about me. The reason I said that is because I got a Canadian iTunes review that I found quite fascinating. On this show and my other show, Love and Abuse, I'll bring up the term narcissism. And narcissism is one of those terms that when you use it, you can usually tell what someone's talking about. Oh, he's such a narcissist or she's such a narcissist. And they're saying something to the effect that that person loves themselves. I mean, this is the interpretation that we usually use. They love themselves. They talk about themselves. They're high on themselves. It's all about them and they don't really care about anyone else. Everything they can do to achieve and succeed, no matter who's in the way. I mean, you may or may not see narcissists like that, but that's the general concept of narcissism. It goes further than that. It goes deeper than that. Narcissists lack empathy. And to further expand on what I just said, they really don't care who they bowl over to get what they want. And again, it's a deeper topic that I'll cover more on other episodes, probably over on Love and Abuse, but I'm bringing it up because there was this iTunes review that said, 1 star, waste of time. And I like to read the negative reviews on the air so I can process them, so I can tell you about them and have you make your own decisions about what this person is saying, and you can agree with them or not. But I like to put it out on the table. This is one of the things that I recommend you do. I know this is, you may not have a show, you may not have a platform like this, but I really appreciate critical reviews of me, my show, my material. I appreciate it. Not that I want you nitpicking everything I do, but if there's something blatant that you see, if there's something blatant that you are witnessing that I'm doing, then it's nice to get a message that says, hey, you know, when you say plethora, it's not pronounced plethora. It's pronounced plethora. Oh, it is? Oh my God, I've been saying that all my life wrong. So I get these criticisms and, you know, they're constructive criticisms usually. They're not usually mean-spirited criticisms. They're not like you're such a jerk or anything. However, this one could be kind of construed that way or misconstrued that way. Lily Cart in Canadian iTunes said, waste of time, 1 star. This host must spend 80% of the episode talking about his life and experience and the other 20% loosely touching on the topic advertised. If you're triggered by narcissistic energy, skip it. This podcast is his therapy, not yours. That's the totality of that review. They tuned in one day, heard me talk about myself, and tuned out and said, what a narcissist. I mean, that's a quick label, isn't it? We take one small chunk of someone's life and we put a label on that person, and she'll probably, I'm assuming it's a woman, she'll probably never tune in again, and she'll probably think this way for the rest of her life, that I am useless, I'm a narcissist, and whatever other labels that she puts on me. And she has every right to feel that way and say that. The review section is where you put your opinions, and that is her opinion. And unfortunately, the old people pleaser in me kind of kicks up and says, oh, I want her to like me. I want to show her that I'm not this person that she says I am. And then the healed part of me says, oh, you know, that's one person's opinion out of the tens or hundreds of thousands of people that tune into this show. And she can say anything she wants about me. And the percentage of people that compliment the show and thank me for what they're doing, and that even sounds narcissist when I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. The number of people that write in and say thank you so much, it definitely overrides the tiny percentage. And I'm talking like maybe once every 6 months, if that, I'll get a negative review. And of all the reviews that I get, they're never neutral. They're either great or you're the worst thing on the planet. And I've learned that when you get disparaging comments like that about what you're doing in the world, it's usually a good thing, because that means you probably have a lot of passion about what you do. You probably do it very well. You probably have a lot of fans. Again, you may not have a show or a platform like this, but in life, you probably have fans that really support you. And those people come out of the woodwork to support you when someone comes along and criticizes you or tries to hurt you. And I've found that when you go through life trying to please everyone, that your life usually ends up not as fulfilling as it could be. And I think I tried that at the beginning of the show. I just want to please everyone. I want to serve everyone. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm pretty tactful with most subject matter anyway. But I think at the beginning of this show, I mean, years ago, when I started doing this, I was more careful. You know, I was trying to find the limits. I was trying to find the boundaries of what can be said, what should be said, what needed to be said. Because, you know, when I'm putting myself out on the air like this, it is a vulnerable place. And do I want to just show up in the world as completely vulnerable so I can be open to attack or support? You know, that's a tough place to step into, even when you've done a lot of healing. I mean, let's just say that you've healed around personal boundaries and you have no problem honoring your personal boundaries. And if somebody crosses the line, you're willing and able to say back off if you need to say back off. And then it happens and then you have no problem doing it. But would you do that with everyone in every situation at any time? I mean, this is where personal growth and self-help and, you know, therapy and coaching and all this other stuff really starts to help you define parameters in your life. Really starts to help you understand what you've healed from and where it applies. You know, I look at my life and I think I can be vulnerable in most places. I can honor my personal boundaries and my values in most places. I can be honest in most places, but would I be honest everywhere all the time? You know, some people might have a moral clause in their life that says, I'm going to be honest no matter what, anytime, all the time. And I don't know if that's the healthiest thing to do for your life. I don't think it's very healthy to always be something or not ever be something. Without that flexibility in your life to change as needed, you might run into trouble. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, just lie anytime you need to lie. I'm not saying that at all. I do think that you should possess a moral compass and follow that compass to the best of your ability, as much as you possibly can. Follow that moral compass, follow that ethical compass, follow the legal compass, follow the path that you believe is the best path. And then if an occasion calls for it, you might have to be a little flexible. You might have to be somewhat dishonest to someone. Now, this isn't so you can get away with something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about situations where your honesty could actually be hurtful. And this isn't the kind of honesty where someone says, does this dress make me look fat? I'm not talking about that, although that could apply. That could apply. I mean, because what are you going to say? Yes, you look really fat, and even without the dress, you look fat. I mean, somebody might take offense to that. I'm not saying fat or skinny is good or bad. I'm just saying that somebody might take offense to that because they usually ask a question like that to find out if they're at all offensive looking. So if you say, yes, you're offensive looking, and the truth in your mind is, even without the dress, no matter what you wear, you're offensive looking, oh, that's going to hurt. And that might destroy someone's self-confidence, self-esteem, self-worth. I mean, you name it. This show doesn't promote lying. I'm not saying that you should start doing this. I'm saying you use your best judgment. I'm saying you look at the greater good. You look at the bigger picture. And I'm also saying don't do it to get away with stuff. Don't do it just because you can. I think for the most part, you try hard to follow that compass, following a good life path compass, so that you end up with better results. This is what I've learned. I've learned that the more I've strayed from the path, from that, what I call an ELM compass, like an elm tree, ethical, legal, and moral, the more I stray from that, the more trouble comes into my life, the more difficulty comes into my life, the more challenges come into my life. And so as you stray from your compass and the way it's set up, as you fall out of alignment with that, you start to notice things in your life, but you may not attribute it to falling off the path. You may not attribute it to not being in alignment with that ethical, legal, moral compass. And, you know, we all have different compasses as well. One person might have no problem squashing bugs. I save them. One person might have no problem speeding. And that might be me too. Not all the time, but, you know, 45, 50, you know, you just got to watch yourself. But I'm definitely not going to speed in a school zone. And one person may go 20 miles over the speed limit with no problem. And one person may want to follow the speed limit strictly and follow the letter of the law. And I'm not saying any of these are better or worse, but how often do you get out of alignment with that compass, that internal compass that you have set or are continuing to set, are continuing to, calibrate so that your life can be better? I mean, this is my opinion. I think that life can be better when we stay in alignment with this internal compass. So let me get back. I kind of went off there, but let me get back to this review. Now, I mentioned narcissism at the beginning, and it's odd to hear someone call me a narcissist other than my girlfriend. And she does it jokingly. She'll say, you know, you are very confident in yourself, and you seem to love yourself, but not in a vain way. You think you're going to be a success no matter what you do. So it seems like narcissism, but you're compassionate, you care, and you do things that a narcissist wouldn't. And I said, I know, there's a line. I mean, I didn't say I know as a narcissist. I said, there's a line between someone who is self-confident, knows they're a good person, believes they're doing the best they can do, and even jokes about being the best boyfriend ever. But I do so with humbleness. I do it humbly because I know that in reality, there's so many people better than I am. There's so many better, who knows, speakers, coaches, good-looking guys, bigger guys, muscular guys. The list goes on and on. There's so many people that can outclass me in many ways. And that's what keeps me humble, is knowing that exists and knowing that at any time my girlfriend could get bored with me. People could tune into this show and give me one star and say, this guy's a narcissist. People can write to me and say the advice was awful and you shouldn't be a coach, you shouldn't be on the air. I mean, I know this. And when it happens, I check in and I make sure that I'm still in alignment with that compass, that I'm still in alignment with my morals, with my ethics, with, to a lesser degree, legality. And when I do that, the criticism tends to fade away. And this is what I'm trying to convey now, is that if you really want to diminish or dissolve harsh criticism or someone who's trying to paint a bad picture of you, and especially with me, they just put out on the internet, and now everyone in Canada thinks I'm a narcissist. But you have to listen a while. I guess you have to make that determination yourself. I won't decide that for you because that would probably be narcissistic. But I'll let you make that decision. But I do believe in checking in to make sure you're still in that alignment with that compass so that when you evaluate yourself and make sure you're still on that road, make sure that you still have that integrity of character inside of you. And what you find is, yeah, I'm trying to do everything the best I can. When that answer comes up, then the criticism doesn't apply. It's someone else's perception, and they don't see what you see. They can't see your internal compass. They can't see how you're aligned. They can't see you following a certain path and doing the best you can and doing everything as honestly as you can and with integrity and character. They can't see any of that stuff. All they get is that snippet. They get that tiny little chunk of you that they have determined they may not like, or there's nothing they need to see more, and they're just going to determine who you are from that point on. It used to drive me crazy if someone didn't like me, if I couldn't find a way to make them laugh or want me near them or want me around them. I wanted to please people. I wanted people to accept me and want me near them. And to grow beyond that and decide that my gauge now is not how people respond to me, it's how I live my life, the track that I'm on, the path that I'm following, the journey that I do every day. Is it in alignment, ethically and morally, for the most part? Legally is kind of a way, way, way secondary thing, usually when I'm driving. But can I be proud of the steps that I've taken? Can I look to my past and say, I was ethical there. I was moral there. And I can bunch all of this together with honoring my personal boundaries, being in alignment with my values, showing up as authentically as I can, being honest. I can bunch all of these together and see if I'm in alignment or not. Did I lie to that person? Why did I lie to that person? Does that take me off track? These are the things I analyze in my life and make sure that I'm still on track so that I don't bring challenges, so that I don't bring difficulties into my life. And I come on the air and maybe 80% of the show is me talking about me. Definitely not every episode, but a lot of it could be. Now, there's one thing I learned about this and I'll share with you. I went to therapy a long time ago when I was depressed. And then I went to therapy while I was married. And one thing that really bothered me in therapy was that they never, ever shared anything about themselves. I know they're not supposed to. I mean, when you become a therapist, I think that's what they tell you. Don't share anything about yourself. And I didn't know that when I was going to therapy. So I felt completely alone with a spotlight on me. That's what it feels like in therapy, for me at least. I'm not saying therapy is ineffective. I'm not saying it's bad. Therapy has been really good for me. But to feel so alone with a spotlight on me and I'm supposed to share everything and this person is never going to say, oh my God, I relate with that. This is what happened to me. It feels awkward. I feel strange sharing things because they're so strange to me, that that person over there listening to me is a stranger to me. And I'll never know anything about their life, which means I have to do all the talking. I have to share everything. And they don't have to share anything. And that's their job. And that's why I didn't want to become a therapist, honestly, because I didn't want to be restricted by not being able to talk about myself. Like, I reached out to a couple of PhDs for the Safe Empowerment System. They wouldn't share their own anxiety stories. And the reason was is because they couldn't at least the ones I talked to, they said that their license didn't permit them to be personal like that in a helping fashion that could relate to someone out there, because it could be misconstrued and then they would get sued for malpractice or something like that. And it was frustrating, because there's some brilliant people out there that can share a lot of good information. And I found all of them for the system. I think it's a fantastic system. I highly recommend it at quietbegins.com. There's a little plug for it. But the people that said no to it, it really surprised me, because I was hoping that their wisdom would be in the system too, which it is in some ways. It's just not from their mouths, but a lot of the concepts are the same. But the point is, it was tough for me to be in therapy, to be in the spotlight, to be the only one telling someone about my issues and have them not say once, "I can so relate to that." And so when I see this one-star review from someone that says, "Oh, this guy talks about himself," I do so because I want you to know that you're not alone. I come on the air to share my troubles, to share my challenges, and to share how I got through them, and to also share as much as I can to help you through your stuff so that you don't feel alone, so that you don't feel like you're in the spotlight. I mean, I'm sure there are people and shows and books that say, "Well, this is your problem and this is what you need to do. And when you do it, this is your next step. And then when you heal, this is what you'll need to do next." There's a few books I read like that, and they were, boring as hell. They were so boring because there was no connection to the author. I couldn't connect to the author. One author wrote about happiness, and the book was so academic that I couldn't find happiness. The book was about finding happiness, and I couldn't find it because all he did was talk academically and never personally, never connecting. And I never want to be that academic guy that comes on the air and says, "This is your problem. This is what you can do about your problem," even though some people love that. I mean, this is a show for critical thinkers. I've always touted that this show is geared toward critical thinkers. But even critical thinkers need to connect at an emotional level. And a lot of critical thinkers, including myself for many years, would prefer that somebody else step up first. When somebody else steps up and says, "I have this problem," then I suddenly feel more relaxed, more able to be vulnerable, more able to connect with my own problem, because that person has the same problem. And if they didn't step up, I probably would never have stepped up. Could you imagine being around someone that where, maybe you can't imagine this, where you have this problem, this challenge, and you don't want to share it, especially with someone you love or a good friend? You don't want to share it because it's going to be embarrassing, or they'll think you're a jerk, or you'll feel guilty or ashamed and you just don't want to say it. But imagine if that person said it first. Imagine if they said, "You know, when I was younger, I did this thing and I feel so embarrassed by it. I feel ashamed." Suddenly you can connect with yourself in a whole new way. You can check in and think, "Wow, that person just admitted that to me. I think I'm ready to express myself now too." And then you can release it after so many, who knows, years of holding it in. This is why I come out here. This is why I'm doing this. I'm not saying this to explain myself. I'm not saying, "Hey, I'm not a narcissist." There might be qualities in there. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm not anything or I am anything. But I do want to convey that when you hear me talk about myself, it's not because I'm enjoying hearing my own voice. I really didn't like it at first. I've grown accustomed to it after 6 years, but I know that there are people listening right now, maybe even you, that when you hear me say, "I felt really guilty about doing that thing when I was 28 or 16, I feel really guilty about doing that," that it's going to connect somewhere inside you. It's going to connect with you in a way where maybe there's a little door that opens that might give you a step toward expressing it to someone else, that gives you the ability to free yourself from some repressed pain that you've held onto for a long time. That's why I do this. This is what I'm hoping to achieve. If I can connect with that part of you and it releases something in you because you finally have the courage or the strength or the confidence or whatever it is that you needed to let it out in some way, to express it to someone else. Or even I've had people write to me saying, when I found your show, it saved my life. Or when you said this, I could immediately relate and I've never told anyone this, and they just let it out. I don't know about you, but this is the kind of world that I want to live in. And so to the reviewer, let me just kind of end this segment. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your opinion. You have every right to it. I don't agree with it, but it doesn't matter because I wanted to give everyone else a chance to hear what you said and make their own decision about this show. And some people are going to tune in to this episode for the very first time and think, what the heck is this show all about? Usually not about this, but in a way, it's all about this. It's all about me wanting you to feel comfortable being vulnerable. Me wanting you to feel strength in your vulnerability, the courage to be vulnerable, and also a show to remind you that you have a compass inside of you, and that when you follow that compass and try to stay in alignment as much as you can, try to stay in that integrity, in the character that you're trying to build every day, or you've already built and you don't want to fall out of alignment, when you're trying to do the best you can, your life usually works out better. In fact, I've tested this over and over again. My life always, always works out better. I'm just talking about me. I don't know if it's the same for you, but when I decide to stay in alignment with the legal stuff, with my morals, with my ethics, my life just turns out better because there's nothing that sneaks up on me and says, well, you remember that time you were unethical 2 years ago? Yeah, here it is. It finally caught up to you. This is how you're going to pay for it. I hate those moments, so I decide not to have those moments. I decide that if I want to have the most fulfilling, most satisfying life possible, then I'm going to try to stay on the path that might be the hardest path to be on, because it is hard to be honest sometimes. It is hard to be ethical sometimes, because you want to do that thing to that person because they did something to you. It is hard to be moral sometimes. But those are the challenges that build our integrity, that build our character, and pave our path going forward, that prepare us for almost anything that comes at us. Because once we've decided this is the path we want to take, I'm going to do the best I can, then when somebody comes along and tries to push you off that path, you can check in and ask yourself, wait, do I want to be out of alignment with this? Or is my compass so important that I can't let people push me off of it, and I will stand up and say, I'm sorry, that's not how I do things. When you get to that space, you make it very clear to everyone around you that you deserve to be treated well, that you deserve kindness, compassion, and respect. And it's true, you do. And you will know you do because you can look at your life and say, yeah, I've been doing the best I possibly can. So when you try to knock me down a notch, I can look at my past and say, hey, that's not how I've been. I know I'm doing the best I can. I know I'm doing what I believe to be right and good. I know I'm doing that. So I'm going to allow that comment that you just made to diminish because I know me better than you. When you can know yourself to that extent and accept that you're doing the best you can, it's very hard to be knocked down. It still happens. I still get knocked down, but it's a lot easier to get back up when you can check in, look at your alignment, realize, hey, I've been in alignment, so I'm in good shape. You know, that person just has a tiny little perspective of me. And it's just not right. Or if it is, I'm going to look at that too. But you'll fall a lot less often, and the duration of time that you're down is shorter and shorter each time the longer you stay on the path that aligns with your integrity and character. We'll be right back. So in the Safe Empowerment System over at quietbegins.com, we have one of the experts in there is Gina Ryan. She hosts the Anxiety Coaches podcast. If you deal with anxiety at all, I highly recommend you check out her podcast. She's one of the 8 experts that have contributed to the system. She's got a great segment. She did a walkthrough, like a 5-minute walkthrough, where she helps you get out of the anxiety moment while it's starting. And that's one of the benefits to the SAFE system, is that there are these emergency pods that you plug in and start playing as soon as you start feeling anxiety coming on. And her voice is just so hypnotic. When we were having a conversation about the SAFE system when we did the recording, she was putting me into what seemed like a trance. I'm not saying she was trying to hypnotize me. It's just her voice works for this system. She's one of the first people I have on there. And her voice just works for anxiety. And so her show is great to tune into. Like I said, I highly recommend it. But also, if you want a more guided system for you to help heal your anxiety, to help diminish it, dissolve it, and get through those anxiety moments, go to quietbegins.com. Check out the SAFE system. It might be perfect for you. I mean, if you've tried everything, maybe this is exactly what you're looking for. And with the emergency pods that you can play right when anxiety starts, there's going to be about, I think from this recording on, 10 more released this year. So even after you buy, you're going to have another minimum of 10 recordings so that you don't have to play the same ones over and over again. Not that they won't work. In fact, I highly recommend the repetition of playing those over and over again, because that's going to start rewiring your brain. But you're going to have more recordings that come along after you purchase the system. And, you know, it's all included in the original price. There's no more extra charges, but it's going to be a huge benefit for you if you're experiencing anxiety in any way. It's geared towards social anxiety, so when you're out and about, so you'll hear wording to that. But I've learned that it works for almost any anxiety situation, or for many. And as more emergency pods come out, it's going to cover a lot more ground as well. So head over to quietbegins.com, and maybe the SAFE system is perfect for you. Check it out. You know, I want to make one more comment on that review, and it was something she said at the end. She said, "This podcast is his therapy, not yours." She's half right. This podcast has been my therapy since day one, because it has given me a platform to speak about my stuff. It's true. You're right. It's my therapy. And it continues to be my therapy, because I will come on the air and talk about stuff that I haven't fully processed yet. Not all the time, but sometimes this happens. I haven't fully processed it. And sometimes I have to stop recording. Doesn't happen as often anymore, because as you talk about your own stuff, you get to address it. You get to confront it. You get to focus on it. You get to learn about it. As I've talked about this on the air, as I've talked about my own dysfunctional past, my own unhealthy behaviors, I mean, I've admitted a lot of stuff on this show. And as I've done that, it has what I like to call put it on the table. I have put all of these issues of mine on the table, and it forces me to be okay with who I am and the decisions I've made. It's forced me to face certain guilt and shame and embarrassment and fears and all of these things that I talk about. When I talk about them, even when I give you tips or insights or opinions or advice, even when I do that, I find myself after a recording going to talk to my girlfriend, or spending time doing something else, or spending time in quiet, I find myself going over what I just said on the air and making sure that I'm in alignment with everything I just said on the air. Because sometimes when you're giving a presentation or a speech, or you're teaching a class or whatever it is, you'll tend to go a little unconscious. It'll just be in there and it'll just come out. And if you start saying things that you're not in alignment with, you might find some challenges in your life where you go, "Wow, I just gave that person that advice and I'm not taking my own advice. That's probably not a good idea." And so I've actually made my own relationship with my girlfriend and even my family a lot healthier by facing the challenges that listeners write in to me about, my own challenges from my past by talking about them on the air, and then coming up with hopefully solutions, or at least a step toward a solution or a better path. When I talk about this stuff, I ask myself, am I applying that? Am I doing that? And it's been a huge help to me. So yes, the person who wrote that review, it is my therapy. Now she says it's not your therapy. I don't profess that this is therapy at all. I don't profess this to be therapy. I'm not even qualified to tell you it's therapy or be your therapist. I'm only qualified to give you my opinion. I don't even know if that requires qualification, but I am here to not only share with you what I've been through and how I've gotten through it and how I'm still working through other things in my life, but I'm also here to, like I said, help you connect with yourself, help you see what issues there are in your life. I mean, I have talked with people that have had major dysfunction in their family and they didn't even realize it was dysfunctional. And I don't know if this is you, but in my life, I didn't realize that growing up with an alcoholic abusive person was dysfunctional. I thought it was normal. And to compare my life to other people's lives when I started growing up, I realized, oh, wait a minute, your stepfather or father is nice. Your mom stands up for you. Your sister does this. Your brother does that. Your friend does this. And it started opening my eyes that I was in a toxic situation. And once your eyes open, not only may it shock you, but it also gives you the opportunity to start assessing what you need to do next for yourself. And that's hard to do too, because you don't have no tools. If you grew up from birth in a dysfunctional situation, you probably have no tools. All you have is what your family has taught you, or the survival skills and coping mechanisms that you developed over the years that have just allowed you to survive but not thrive. Those aren't really tools. They're just get through the moment kind of stuff. And when you finally get through the moment, and let's just say that you move out of your home and now you're an adult and you're developing your own relationships and you're living on your own, you usually end up taking those same old survival skills and coping mechanisms with you and try them on other people in the real world. And when you try them on other people, you start failing in so many ways because those people aren't showing up the same way as your family did. Unless you ended up with people like your family, which often happens, you could find someone just like your dad or just like your mom, and then you realize, oh, I'm married to an abusive alcoholic. Why did this happen? And for those of you who are suffering from alcoholism or are alcoholics or recovering alcoholics, I'm not saying that if you're an alcoholic, you're a bad person. I'm saying that in my life, the alcoholic was the abuser. But because he was abusive, because he was hard to be around, because he was embarrassing, because he's a lot of things, the alcohol to me was the initiator for that. But he never got help for it. He never sought help. He didn't think he had a problem. He still doesn't think he has a problem. I honestly don't know how he's still alive. I don't wish him ill, but I don't know how he's alive. As far as I know, he drinks to pass out every day. I don't know how he does it. But I know that alcoholism is hard to deal with. So when you hear me talk about alcoholics, please don't take offense if you are that person or you're recovering. It's not about that at all. It's the fact that the person I'm talking about was an abusive alcoholic. So the alcoholism can create a lot of dysfunction in family. So please know that I respect that it's a struggle and it is hard to stop, but you can do it. If you have a problem with drinking and you want to stop, you can do it. I know you can, and I know it's hard. So my point with the second segment is to remind you that some of the behaviors that you bring in from your childhood years, they can be detrimental to your mental, physical, and emotional health. They can hurt you, and not hurt you, but they can cause you to have a very challenging life because you think that's how you're supposed to act because you've received no other tools. This is why I feel, I don't know, blessed to be able to have gone through the childhood I went through. I feel blessed, I can't think of any other word, to have experienced it. Even though I hated it, even though I wanted it differently, I don't hate it anymore. I hated it when I was going through it. I wanted it to be different then, but now I can look at my past and think, if I hadn't gone through that, where would I be today? Would I just have a great life and work in some office somewhere and have no problems whatsoever with a great wife and two kids. And, you know, would I have all that? And would I be happy? Would my life be better? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I do know that every time I heal from something from my past, I feel pretty darn good. And if I didn't have the difficulties that I had, I wouldn't have the opportunity to heal from them. I know that's not exactly everyone's biggest desire to have these dysfunctions in their life and now you got to heal from them. But when you do, your life does get better. And you've been through so many hardships that you realize that you can take a lot more than a lot of other people. If you've been through a lot of hardships, you can usually take a lot more. You're usually more resilient. You're usually more tolerant. And when you've healed from those hardships, when you've healed from perhaps your childhood, when you've healed from that, then the feeling can be exhilarating. And that's when the tools and the resources start developing in you. So when you face these things in the future, you have a way to handle them. You have the ability to honor yourself and stay in that alignment that I was talking about so that you're always going in the right direction for you. Imagine someone who had the perfect life, had no problems whatsoever. I don't know how they handle challenges. When a challenge comes along, how do they handle it? I mean, maybe they were trained well. Maybe they know how to handle it because they had a really healthy upbringing with supportive parents or caretakers. And if that's the case, more power to them. I just know that the people that I've met, the people that I've talked to that have gone through some major challenges and are always working on themselves, always going through the healing process, or at least trying to heal from what they're going through, always trying to improve themselves, they just seem to be more resilient, more tolerant, and are able to get through some of the toughest stuff. And even if you haven't had the hardest life ever, you got to remember you can't compare yourself to anyone else with any other challenge. You can't. Your life is your life with your own history. And even if you dropped a glass full of milk on the floor and your mom yelled at you and sent you to bed and that was the worst thing that happened to you, it can be very traumatic. You know, I'm not joking. This could be the most traumatic thing in your life because maybe you were yelled at for the very first time and it imprinted on your brain and now you suffer with anxiety because of it. Absolutely. I'm not saying that anyone's trauma is worse or better than another. I'm saying that your trauma is your trauma and do not compare it to anyone else's because you experienced it and you only have your history to compare it to. And when your history says, hey, everything's been great up to this point, then I have anxiety and then I can't get through life without sweating and my heart beating so fast that I feel like I'm going to die. This is your experience and it could be very real for you. PTSD is real and it doesn't have to involve the most major issues that we hear on the news or in other people's lives. The post-traumatic stress response is very real to anyone that's had any experience. So never minimize yourself. That's my only point there. Never minimize or invalidate your experience because, oh, it was just, you know, broken glass with spilled milk. Never minimize it. If it's the most powerful experience and it gives you stress and it is a huge challenge for you, then that's what we need to work on. That's what we need to try to heal. When you go through the process of working on that, don't dismiss it because if that's what you're holding on to, imagine what your life would be like if you could heal from that moment. I want you to heal. I want you to get into a good space. And I think one of the ways to do that is to find your alignment and heal from past trauma or at least take steps toward healing. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll be right back. I'll say some thank yous and my closing words in a moment, right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you, go to quietbegins.com if you experience anxiety and you just want it to go away. This might be the path to freedom and ease out of anxiety for you. Go to quietbegins.com. Check it out. And I want to thank the patron members over at patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. And I have a special thing that I'm going to do for you if you're a patron member. If you've been supporting the show for about anywhere from 6 months on, I'm going to create a page on my website and thank you publicly. I'm going to have like a wall of fame or something on there. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet. But the idea came from someone who reached out to me, Clifton, who said, you know, I didn't realize my credit card expired and I stopped supporting you and I didn't mean to do that. And now I feel bad. I lost my long-term support status. Clifton, you have not lost your status just because your credit card expired or whatever happened and you just lost track of it. The patron program is always a cancel anytime, no questions asked. I do not require anyone to continue supporting this show forever. But because you said that, it made me realize I need to honor the people that have been supporting me for a long time. And Clifton, you're one of these people. You've been thinking about it. You just thought it was happening, but it wasn't. But he wanted to reinstate his membership. So this gave me the idea that I want to create a wall of fame or whatever I call it, just to honor those. So I'm going to send you, if you're in the patron program now and you've been supporting this show for over 6 months, I'm going to send you an email and ask if you want your name on the wall. It'll be just a page on my site that people can check it out, you know, who supports the show. I think you deserve the credit. You deserve the credit for keeping this show going. And if you want to support the show, go over to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com and check it out. Not only is it a way to support the show, you also get some goodies. Like I have over 90 private episodes that you can't find anywhere else. There's a video archive and there's also a bunch of workbooks in there. And there's also discounts on workbooks like the Mean Workbook and the Safe System. Pretty hefty discounts. So if you're interested in any of the products that I've created, some are free, some are discounted in the patron site. And also, I've got another surprise coming. I don't really know if I should share this yet because I haven't solidified it yet, but my idea is to create 1-minute videos. Why 1 minute? That sounds like nothing. Well, what I've learned is that a lot of people like to hear some sort of advice to take action on, but it takes them a while to take action. Like every episode of The Overwhelmed Brain could be filled with action steps, but when do you have time to do it? I mean, a lot of it you listen to and you absorb and hopefully your life changes through osmosis. But when do you have time to take action on things? So my idea is in the patron program is to create these just 1 minute videos. I'm going to call it 1 minute to momentum. Just a quick tip and an action step. So like I said, I haven't solidified this yet, but I'm going to start this in the patron program. And I may turn it into, I don't know, a year-long course where you get one a week or something. I don't know. But if you're in the patron program, you're going to experience this pretty soon, hopefully. Like I said, I haven't solidified it yet, but my goal is to start creating these because they're digestible. I want you to be able to digest the information, soak it in, focus on it, absorb it, and not have to think about anything else but that one tip, one action step. So if you're not in the Patreon program yet and that sounds good to you or anything else I've talked about, go to patreon.theoverwhelmedbrain.com and thank you, existing Patreon members. You'll be getting an email soon. And I want to remind you about the Love and Abuse podcast. That is my other show. I just created an episode on isolation. That's such an important topic because what can happen is when you're in a relationship where the other person starts isolating you from your friends, your family, the things that you want to do, your support systems, all of these things start to disappear in your life and you end up relying on the one person who took it all away from you and hope that they treat you right and provide everything for you because now you don't have anything but them. So that's kind of what isolation is about. It goes deeper than that, but I don't think I mentioned this on the show, but I used to live in an apartment complex where the downstairs neighbors, apparently there was some domestic violence going on. I didn't know this, but there was a couple down there with a small child, and one day, my girlfriend and I heard crying. It was a woman crying, and she was crying loud. She had the apartment door open, and you could hear it echoing through the hallways. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I ran down. I didn't have my shoes on. I just ran down there to find out what was happening. She had the door open. She was crying. I asked her, what was going on? What's wrong? Are you okay? And she just kept crying. And so I decided to kind of open the door, and when I did, I saw something had been knocked over. Food was all over the floor. It was all over the ceiling. I saw the husband holding the child, and he wasn't saying a word. And he was just patting the child, and he looked like he was either crying or angry or something. He had a look on his face. But I assessed that there was abuse going on. I assessed that he must have grabbed her, hit her, did something, and maybe threw a dish of food across the room, something. But she wouldn't stop crying. And so I went up to the guy and I said, look, I'm not here to ask any questions. I'm not here to judge. Let me just take her into our apartment so we can calm her down and, you know, just cool things off here. And he just kind of looked at me still with that expression. I can't even explain it. And he just nodded his head, didn't say a word. We took her up there and, you know, my girlfriend tried to calm her down and this woman would not say what happened. I'm sure she felt a lot of fear because if she said anything, she knows that she's going to go back to him and he's going to ask, what did you tell him? And she's going to have to come up with something. So this woman didn't talk, but my girlfriend, she was smart. She goes, I know what happened. And if you need me, we're always here for you. And if you need me to call the police, we can do that too. Whatever you need for us to do, you just let us know. And the woman just nodded. So anyway, she calmed down. She went back home. And that event just kind of faded away. We ended up seeing them a few days later. And everyone was pretending that everything was fine. And everyone was happy. And my girlfriend and I knew that, you know, there's trouble in paradise here for sure. But what can you do? I mean, we even asked experts, are you supposed to call the police? And they said, no, do not call the police. It could incite violence even more unless, you know, there's some serious thing going on. But because it was already over, they said it was a bad idea. So I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that's what happened to us. And so that wasn't the point of my story. I just wanted to finish that story so you understood the background here. The point was they were moving out into the country where she would have access to no one else. She didn't have a job. She didn't have a car. And she wasn't going to be near anyone like us or anyone. They were just going to be isolated from the world. There was nothing that my girlfriend and I could do. And she made the choice to go. And I think that's where she is today. So I don't know how she is. I hope she's fine. But I have a feeling that it's not an easy life. I'm sure she's struggling and suffering. And with so little resources and so little connection to the outside world, her reliance is on the very person that is probably abusing her. And so I tell this story not as a downer, but as a reminder that the more isolated you are from the world when you're with someone like that, the harder it is to get out of a situation like that. So I talk about isolation on the Love and Abuse podcast. Check it out just so you can learn about emotionally abusive behavior, manipulation, narcissism, one of the topics today, and anything else in that realm so that you don't get stuck in a situation with someone that is causing harm to you in any way. It's not only for romantic relationships. It kind of centers around that, but it can be for anyone that wants to understand the type of behavior that can happen, which is under the radar behind closed doors. So that was kind of a long infomercial for Love and Abuse, but I think it's an important podcast for anyone in any type of relationship just to understand unhealthy behavior and toxic communication. And finally, let me thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And just to close real quick, I just want to help you answer the question, if you have the question, how do I know I'm in alignment? How do I get into alignment with my morals, my ethics? If you don't know, there's one question that you need to ask yourself, and this is what I do sometimes in any situation that you're in. This is how you get into alignment with your internal compass, or whatever you want to call it. I like to call it my compass, or alignment with my values, which are something I use a lot to keep me on track. And the question that you ask yourself to help you get in alignment or stay in alignment is the following. Is this in alignment with who I want to be? It's simple, I know, but that's it. And what I mean by that is at any time throughout the day, throughout the night, you ask yourself this question before you make a decision or even during the decision or after the decision. You ask yourself, is this in alignment with who I want to be? I've had to do that many times in my life. I still do it today. Is this in alignment with who I want to be? I've had to do that in very tough situations. I told you a story one episode of a salesman who tried to con me and add extra charges to my bill because he was trying to fast talk me. And I was starting to fall for it and I was going to let him get away with it because I didn't want to cause trouble. I didn't want to confront. And I asked myself the question, wait, is this in alignment with who I want to be? And you can modify it. Is this in alignment with the way I want to be treated? is this in alignment with my values? Is this in alignment with my life, with my character, with my integrity? And I asked myself that question in some way, shape, or form. And I said, no. So what do I do about it? I need to do something about it. Once you make the decision that it's not in alignment, that's your opportunity to take action. And that's the hard part. That is, the taking action part might be confronting someone, which I did. I said, hey, you just charged me extra for that. That's unethical. You shouldn't do that. That's kind of what came out of me when I realized, hey, I'm not in alignment with who I want to be here. So I want to be in alignment. And that came out. And it was the right thing to say. And I feel good about what I did. And my life was better because of that. Because from that point on, I am able to now stand up for myself a lot easier when it comes to situations like that. Whereas before, I didn't want to confront. I just wanted to make sure everyone was happy and everything was okay. And I won't allow that anymore. I mean, unethical behavior. I won't allow that in my life. Or at least, you know, I do my best. And when I can't, I try to be flexible. I try to do what I can when I can. And I think that's a good recipe for life. Do what you can when you can. And ask yourself, is this in alignment with who I want to be? Is this in alignment with me? It's a good practice. And do it as much as you can. And you'll find your life changing. I'm going to stick with that. But if you find it challenging to take action after you've answered that question, just keep your mind open so that you can step into your power. This will help you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.